Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. It's a new month, October 2nd, 2017, our first current sports of the new month. And we have a very entertaining hour of sports talk coming right at you. It was a busy weekend in the world of local sports and beyond. And on today's current sports, we're going to do our best to try and cover it all. We'll talk the Lions and the Vikings. How about the Detroit Lions? Boy, I tell you what, they're slowly but surely kind of making me a believer. That Lions D is for real, especially when looking at how the offense didn't put up a ton of points yesterday against the Vikings on the road. But we'll talk about the Honolulu Blue moving forward now as they will take on Cam Newton and the Panthers. The Panthers getting a big win over the New England Patriots yesterday. So we'll talk Lions. We'll also talk about the Detroit Tigers season being in the books. Thank goodness. I think many Detroit Tigers fans out there have been waiting on this moment as this team will retool in the offseason. No postseason implications for this squad. They finished with the worst record in the majors. How about that, right? And, of course, you know we're going to talk MSU football. What a win it was against the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday afternoon. We will invite to the show our dear friend, former MSU linebacker and broadcaster Otis Wiley, as he will provide some insight as to the Spartans' win over the Hawkeyes. And now moving forward, it is officially Rivalry Week, as the Spartans will play the first ever night game in the 119-year history between the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans on the football field. You don't want to miss that, trust me. And we will also talk to James Moore, former MSU fullback great, who had his life story published in the Lansing State Journal recently. A great job by Cody Tucker, as, of course, James has opened up about his struggles with drug abuse after his football playing career and now, you know, changing his life around and, of course, starting the Speaking with a Purpose campaign, the SWAP campaign, trying to give back to the youth and impact change in their respective lives. James will talk about that article and the feedback that he's gotten from it, because it has garnered a lot of attention and attraction for sure. So James will join us on the back end of the show. We'll also talk some MSU football also with James Moore. And of course, like each and every Monday, we will have weekend winners to close out the hour. Jam-packed show. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know how you can do that. Multiple ways to do so. You can pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/currentsports, where we currently have the live stream up and running. And you can even tweet us. Join the conversation via Twitter by tweeting the show at WKAR_sports, or tweeting me directly at Al Martin WKAR. But without further ado, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners, brought to you with the help of two of our fantastic beat reporters and PAs, Caitlin Plug and John LeBlanc. All right, and we start with MSU football. On Saturday, Michigan State defeated the Iowa Hawkeyes. 17-10 the final, giving Michigan State its third consecutive win over Iowa. The Spartans' defense held the Hawkeyes to only 19 rushing yards and limited Iowa to only 231 yards of total offense. The defense also caused two Iowa turnovers. The defense has been fantastic for the Spartans so far this year, and also held Iowa to 4-for-14 on third downs. Now, on the offensive side, Felton Davis III recorded a career-high 9 catches, 114 receiving yards, while Brian Lewerke recorded his third 200-yard passing game of the season. Lewerke finished the game with a total of 254 yards of offense. And as you all have been anticipating, this Saturday, the Spartans will hit the road, just down the road to Ann Arbor, to take on the Michigan Wolverines. The first ever night game between these two football programs in the 119-year history. That will be a 7:30 p.m. kickoff. And also breaking news, folks. Get this. Michigan starting quarterback Wilton Spate is likely to miss multiple weeks. So the Wolverines will start John O'Korn against Michigan State on Saturday. That announcement coming from the mouthpiece of head coach Jim Harbaugh. Big news there. All right, keeping it pushing. Let's talk some MSU men's soccer with our very own John LeBlanc. What happened this weekend, John?
What happened this weekend is the Spartans came away with a victory against number 16 Ohio State. 5-1, the most goals they scored in a game this season. Proves their record at 8-1-1 and 3-0-1 in Big Ten play. Forward Ryan Sierkowski led the way for the Spartans with 2 goals and 1 assist, making his goal total 3 on the year and a total of 9 points. Goal-scoring leader DeJuan Jones also got in the action with a goal late in the game. And defenseman Connor Corrigan and Michael Beckett also netted their first goals of the season. The number 4 Spartans will next take on the number 9 Western Michigan Broncos this Wednesday in Kalamazoo. That game will kick off at 4 p.m. And, yeah.
8-1-1.
8-1-1.
What a start to the year for Damon Rensing and his squad,
and that's
right?
Yeah, and that's coming off a 4-1 loss to number 24 Akron this past Wednesday.
Wow, way to rebound, right?
Yeah,
I mean, dealing with a little bit of adversity, they rebound quite nicely against Ohio State. Yeah. Huh?
And they've had opportunities this whole season. It's just they never converted. And Rensing said in post-game also, he's just glad like the conversions were able to go in finally for him.
John, and you were covering that game this weekend, too.
It was for the State News, yep.
All right, keeping it pushing. MSU women's soccer, good news from their program over the weekend as well, as the MSU women's soccer team picked up its first Big Ten Conference win yesterday, a 3-2 dub over Iowa, improving the team's record to 5-8-0. The Spartans proved they could evenly match Iowa offensively and fought for the lead the entire game. The first goal came in the 20th minute when MSU senior Jamie Cheslick scored. In the 68th minute, Cheslick scored her second goal of the night to put the Spartans ahead and claim her third game-winning goal of the season. The women's next game will take place on Friday as they travel to Columbus to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Caitlin Plug, news concerning the MSU volleyball team. How did they fare this weekend?
The number 16 MSU volleyball team continued their strong string of dominance this weekend, sweeping Big Ten opponents Maryland on Friday and OSU on Saturday. The Spartans now have 3 straight sweeps and have a 11-2 record on the season. 10 of their wins this season are sweeps. The number 16 Spartans will next face off against Nebraska Cornhuskers this Wednesday at 8 p.m. in Lincoln, Nebraska. The game will air on BTN.
BNT? I mean BTN? It's a Monday, Caitlin.
It's a Monday.
It's a Monday. Thank you so much for that news. Also, the Detroit Lions. How about the Honolulu Blue? The Lions took down divisional opponent, the Minnesota Vikings, this weekend with a 14-7 win, improving their record to now 3-1. And it just blows my mind because if it wasn't for a Golden Tate ruling short of the goal line, the Lions could be 4-0 right now, right? Now, this game marked the 100th consecutive start of Matthew Stafford, but it was Anthony Zettel that led the Lions. Zettel came out of the game with 2 sacks, 4 hurries, and a fumble recovery. The team forced 3 turnovers and held Minnesota scoreless in the second half. The Vikings also lost rookie Dalvin Cook, which opened the gates for the Lions. Cook injuring his knee on a non-contact play. The Lions' next game will take place on Sunday when the Carolina Panthers come to the D. The game is scheduled for 1 p.m. We will have more on that win for the Detroit Lions in just a moment and whether or not the Lions are making me a believer. All right, the Detroit Tigers finally, the season is over. As the Tigers lost their final game of the year against the wild card bound Minnesota Twins 5-1, finishing with an MLB worst 64-98 record. Anibal Sanchez started the game and threw five innings, letting up three earned runs on seven hits while striking out six. Sanchez was credited with the loss. Outfielder Alex Presley brought in the only run of the game with a two-out home run in the top of the third. The Tigers will now look to hire a new manager this offseason. And we'll go into full rebuild mode, I should say. Now, the Tigers also have the number one overall pick in next year's draft. More on the Tigers in just a moment. In high school football, Friday night, week six is in the books. Can you believe that? A few local scores to pass along to you all. East Lansing over Holt, 14-9. Grand Ledge defeating Jackson, 35-12. Lansing Everett over Lansing Eastern, a game that our very own Isaac Constance covered. You can catch coverage of that game right now on WKAR.org. That was a 35-0 win for the Everett Vikings. Lansing Sexton over Okemos, 22-3. Charlotte over Mason, 24-14. DeWitt beating St. John's, 38-12. Hazlitt over Lansing Waverly, 55-8. Williamston over Eden Rapids, 31-10. And Lansing Catholic over Fowlerville, 26-10. Also, the other game we covered on Friday night, our very own Jacob Herbert, was at the East Lansing and Holt game. Very entertaining game. It was a battle. 14-9, the final, as I mentioned, to start our high school football recap. And last but certainly not least, golf is still a thing as the 12th President's Cup took place this weekend at Liberty National Golf Club in Jersey City, New Jersey. Now, the American team beat the international team 19-11 in points, led behind golf icons such as Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth. Members of the international team included Jason Day, Hideki Matsuyama. Also, the PGA Tour will pick back up this upcoming weekend in the Safeway Open at the Silverado Resort and Spa North in Napa, California. Now, American Brendan Steele is the defending champ, shooting a 8-under last year. All right, and the President's Cup, very cool stuff. Even Donald Trump came out for the trophy ceremony yesterday. How about that? All right, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. A lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve. To the wounded who are now recovering in hospitals, we are praying for your full and speedy recovery and pledge to you our support from this day forward. In memory of the fallen, I have directed that our great flag be flown at half-staff. I will be visiting Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with law enforcement, first responders, and the families of the victims. In moments of tragedy and horror, America comes together as one, and it always has. We call upon the bonds that unite us, our faith, our family, and our shared values. We call upon the bonds of citizenship, the ties of community, and the comfort of our common humanity. Our unity cannot be shattered by evil. Our bonds cannot be broken by violence. And though we feel such great anger at the senseless murder of our fellow citizens, it is our love that defines us today.
Today is a tough day. I would be remiss if I didn't start off today's current sports by first off acknowledging the tragedy that occurred in Las Vegas last night at a country music concert in which an individual decided to open fire from across the street at the Mandalay Bay Hotel, like the 32nd floor, opening fire at this concert, in which it seems like these numbers are growing as well. It's the biggest mass shooting in America, in modern American history. 58 dead, 500 and counting injured. You know, I woke up to prep for today's current sports, and it's the first thing that I saw on my Facebook feed, and I really couldn't believe it. You know, it's an odd time that we are living in here currently in 2017, and you know, there are so many thoughts that ran through my mind, much like many of you out there. And of course, my immediate thought was to reach out to a few individuals that I knew that were in Vegas, that are in Las Vegas, I should say, for the weekend and continuing on to begin the week. And one of those individuals is my former coworker, Emerald Morrow, who was in the Las Vegas area this weekend. I'm not sure for what, but I saw on her Twitter page, she had video of law enforcement coming to the aid of individuals. And, you know, she just had a lot of coverage and sent out a lot of tweets. I just shot her a text this morning to make sure she was okay. She is all right. And then also even two former classmates of mine who attended Michigan State University, they were in Las Vegas and still are in Las Vegas. And they were actually at the convention center right where the shooting happened. They were there an hour before the concert and an hour before the shooting occurred. And I reached out to her and she said, it's crazy. You know, we were just there an hour before it happened, and thank God we're okay. We just made it out. And she's doing a bunch of interviews. She just actually talked to the Detroit Free Press, and I will be actually interviewing her after today's current sports, and we'll have that interview available via WKAR.org. But, you know, I just can't help but think about, you know, living in America today. You know, going to, and if, you know, to, you know, talk directly when it comes to sports here. I mean, when you attend a sporting event and you're in the crowd at a game, you know, 70,000 people, and you see stories like this happen, you know, you can't help but think about safety nowadays, because far too often do we see individuals who are for sure mentally unstable deciding to act in violence. But right now, before we move forward, again, I just want to offer my thoughts, prayers, and condolences on behalf of the current sports family here, on behalf of the family here at WKAR. Hug somebody you love today. Hug somebody you love today, because tomorrow was never promised. Moving on to less important matters now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you want to be a part of a fantastic hour of sports talk. Let's talk the Detroit Lions. How about the Detroit Lions sitting at 3-1 to start the year? Did I just say that? Is this a dream? Do I need to pinch myself right now? Because, you know, I sat back and watched that game yesterday afternoon and I said, whoa, what is going on here? Because I went on the record before this season began and I stated that the Lions, looking at how the schedule pans out at the very beginning of the year, I said the Lions would struggle.
Wrong.
Look at Isaac already busting my chops on this Monday afternoon. Yeah, I was wrong, right? I was dead wrong, Isaac.
I said the same thing.
Be real. Yeah, exactly.
I
be
said
real.
The same thing.
We both know one. And I don't care if you are the biggest Detroit Lions fan on planet Earth. You did not expect the Lions to start off the year this good. I mean, a lot of people believe they should be 4-0 right now. Now, personally, I believe that the refs got the call right. I thought the Golden Tate was down before the goal line. His knee touched. He was tagged. Game over. But just think about that. They were just, you know, a one play away from sitting at 4-0. And you can make an argument right now that nobody in the NFC is playing better football than the Detroit Lions. It's amazing. But you know what's so different from last year is the defense. The defense is what is winning games for the Detroit Lions this year. Whereas when you compare it to last season, it was the offense that constantly had to bail the defense out. Matthew Stafford, you had to put the game on his arm, and that led to an NFL record 8 come from behind victories in the fourth quarter. It was the offense that won games for the Detroit Lions, and that's what put the Lions in the playoffs last year. But now it's the defense. It's amazing to think that this is a Detroit Lions defense that just last year forced 14 total turnovers. That's it. One of the worst totals in the NFL. But you look at things on Sunday after 3 more takeaways against the Minnesota Vikings, the Lions already have 11 turnovers in the first 4 games of the season. They had 14 total last season. That's crazy. And those plays, those 3 plays yesterday had a tremendous effect on the game. You know, the first 2, those turnovers turned into 11 third quarter points. And that last turnover put the babies to bed. How big was that? That stopped Minnesota's attempt to tie the game in the final 2 minutes. And I actually tweeted out, you know, I got a feeling here. You know, that was my pessimistic Lions fandom coming out. I tweeted out, I got a feeling here that the Detroit Lions are going to blow this. Yeah, actually, I tweeted this out, you know, to bring up the exact tweet. 4:03 p.m. on October 1st, 2017. Quote, you get the feeling that the Vikings are going to pull off some magic here. Hoping the Lions defense proves me wrong. And that's exactly what they did. Absolutely amazing. I forget the player that actually punched it out from behind, but a huge play. Absolutely huge play. And, you know, Detroit was able to get off the field on defense all game. Minnesota came into the game second to the Dallas Cowboys, my Dallas Cowboys, which, by the way, lost to the LA Rams yesterday. They had to take a long walk after that loss. Mm. But Minnesota came into the game second to only the Cowboys on third down conversion percentage. Pretty impressive, right? But that Detroit Lions defense was so good that they forced the Minnesota Vikings to go 3 of 10 on Sunday, including taking a 10-yard sack at the Detroit 4-yard line in the final minutes. Impressive stuff. Impressive stuff from the Detroit Lions defense, folks. But I do have a few concerns. Now, again, people want to throw a party. Detroit Lions fans want to throw a party and crown this team already. Well, again, we still have a lot of football left to play. Impressive start, yeah. Very impressive start. But we still have a lot of football left to play. That's all I'm saying, okay? They will play Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers this weekend, a Carolina Panthers team that just beat the defending Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. And by the way, that Patriots defense is bad. It's really bad. I think it may be one of the worst, if not the worst, defense in the league. Cam Newton had a field day. That led to a dub. But that's going to be a big game. Then you go on the road, you play the Saints. The Saints got a win out in London over the Miami Dolphins yesterday. Did you get a chance to catch that at all, Isaac? I know that's your team. Who that, right?
Who that?
Who that nation. I didn't get up for that game. I slept until about noon. So did you watch it?
Until about 9, so I got up just in time to watch the game. Saints looked very good, and for the Saints, it's a similar sort of situation where now the defense of all sides of right. the ball, you would never expect the Saints defense to do anything. Mm-hmm. They're having the season of their life, it seems like, over the past two games, record the first shutout since September of 2012 for New Orleans.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
That's going to be no walking apart when the Lions play the Saints on the road, I might add you. And then they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell came to life over the weekend. That's going to be a tough game. Then they have to play Aaron Rodgers, the bad man that he is, as Stephen A. Smith likes to say, right? On the road, that will be at Lambeau Field. So it doesn't get easier from here. But this is why I say don't start throwing a party just yet, because you got some stiff competition coming up. And there are a few little things that I noticed with the Lions looking at yesterday that they need to shore up if they want to keep this train a-trucking. Protect Matthew Stafford. That offensive line was bad. Now, granted, they were facing one of the best fronts in the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings defensive line is pretty good, and it includes two-time Pro Bowler Everson Griffin, who actually, I love this. I love how they brought this up on the broadcast as well. Everson Griffin got into Greg Robinson's head, I believe, this week by calling Robinson, quote, lazy. I absolutely love that trash talk. And I tell you what, Robinson didn't step up to the occasion. Everson Griffin backed up his trash talk. He was fantastic. And he got to Matthew Stafford along with many other members of that defensive front time and time again. And Stafford is the most important player on this roster. Let's be real here. Okay? Again, he's led the Lions to 9 fourth-quarter comebacks in the last 20 games. The Lions don't have a decent backup quarterback. If Matt, you look at how many times he was hit yesterday, and you got to cringe. Because who are you going to throw in after him? Nobody. Stafford was sacked 6 times, and the Vikings defense hit him at least 15 times. Again, that's what makes Matthew Stafford so unbelievable in my eyes, because he's so durable despite the fact that he hasn't had the greatest offensive lines throughout his tenure as the quarterback, as the guy behind center for the Detroit Lions. It's amazing. Amazing. And you look at the backups, I mean, what, Jake Rudock? Never played the position in an NFL game? Now, he did appear in one game earlier this season, but only as like an emergency holder. That was it. Matthew Stafford is your bread and butter. And you got to protect the bread. Simple as that. That can't happen. That's the little things. If that offensive line plays that bad against the Panthers, the Saints, the Packers, the Steelers, it's going to be tough to win. That's all I'm going to say. And you look at, you know, guys like TJ Lang, you know, he had a minor injury in the game. Rick Wagner as well. He had an injury, you know. And also, looking at the defense, too, it's really quick, just comment more on the defense. It's even more amazing when looking at how the Lions performed yesterday. The fact that, you know, star rookie linebacker Jarrett Davis also was out for another game. Back to the offense, though. Offensive line has to be better. The streak continues. The run game for the Lions finally emerged, though, I must say. You know, the Lions have not had a star running back during Stafford's tenure, which is why I believe he's the NFL career leader in pass attempts per game. And again, to put in perspective how bad it has been, just looking at how many times this was brought up yesterday during the broadcast, the last Lions running back to gain 100 yards in a game was and still is Reggie Bush on Thanksgiving Day back in 2013. Wow. That's a long time. That is a long, long time. So I think the streak continues to like 56 games now, because I really thought Amir Abdullah was going to do it last night. I actually tweeted it out. I'm like, okay, finally the streak will end. 56 games now where the Lions have not had a running back rush for at least 100 yards in a game. That's sad. To put in perspective how sad it is, the second longest streak compared to 56 is something like 15. Insane. Amir Abdullah was really close. How close? Really, really close. 20 carries for 94 yards. He came up just short. Had a touchdown where he stretched out. Amir Abdullah looked really good. However, he did go down with, looked like an ankle injury late in the game. Amir Abdullah is a guy who missed the final 14 games last season with a broken foot. Hopefully he's healthy, because Detroit's other running backs, how did they fare? Theo Riddick, Zach Zinner, 7 carries for a total of a whopping 4 yards. That can't happen. That running game is going to have to get better as the year rolls along. And again, take that game, take the win, celebrate it, but please don't turn up too much. Because you look at the Minnesota Vikings offense. Last season, the Vikings lost quarterback Teddy Bridgewater in training camp. Also running back Adrian Peterson, who's now balling out for Isaac's New Orleans Saints. The offense was never able to really get going without those two. The Vikings, after starting, and again, I think this is a perfect example, Lions fans, the Vikings started 5-0 last year. 5-0. How did they finish the year, you ask? 8-8. After their defense led the team. Sound familiar? This season, Sam Bradford has missed the last 3 games with a knee problem. And you have, you know, rookie tailback Dalvin Cook, who left Sunday's game after a really an ugly non-contact knee injury. It looked like his knee kind of buckled a little bit. Cook scored Minnesota's only touchdown. This is a beat-up offense. Case Keenum, you know, he missed several throws that I believe that if Sam Bradford was in, probably would have connected on. So, 3-1, I like it. That's pretty impressive. Pretty good, especially evaluating that Detroit Lions defense. But please, again, for another week, I am saying on a Monday. Well, last week it was a Tuesday, a Wednesday last week. Please keep it in context. Really brief thoughts from Isaac Constance before we bring on Otis Wiley to talk some MSU football. Isaac, are you buying what the Detroit Lions are selling right now? 3-1.
At a good price, I'm buying it, just like you. I'm not buying the fact that, oh my gosh, it's Super Bowl time. They've got a great world-class defense and all of that. But I am buying the fact that I think the Lions will push all of these teams that I didn't expect them to run up against, like the Packers, like the Steelers, to the very brink, if not win one of those 2 games. I counted both of those before the season as losses. Now I think the Lions probably take one of those 2. I think this is the best Lions team in a while. And it's because, yeah, the defense is playing great. But Matthew Stafford, as poor as the protection has been at times, he's not. He is on pace for 600 yards below his worst season since his second year in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's what he's on pace for right now. And I'm not saying that he's made a ton of mistakes, because he's only thrown 1 pick all season long. That is crucial. But he's not playing like the gunslinger going deep.
Well, I mean,
Matthew Stafford, that's the thing. He
has no offensive line.
And that's the case.
It's hard to make some magic happen if you don't have time to make some
but
magic happen.
But this was
happen,
also
right?
true last year. Last year, the offensive line did not show up for Stafford.
It wasn't this bad. The offensive line wasn't this beaten up last year. I mean, we saw TJ Lang last night. Yesterday afternoon.
But Lang's a new signing anyway.
He is, but TJ Lang is beat up. He's a big part of that offensive line. Rick Wagner, he had an injury there. The line needs to improve.
All I'm saying, though, is Stafford and the offense can kick it into another gear. We know that from seasons prior. Whether that's the offensive line or Stafford or the running game, whoever you credit that to, they can step it up a gear, which is why, again, this is so encouraging, because you've gotten the contribution where you did not expect it, the defense. So am I buying? Like I said, at a good price, I'm buying it.
I'm not. I'm not just yet. You know, the Lions are like cough syrup right now for me. Off-brand cough syrup. Like, you know when you go to the pharmacy, Isaac, and you want to. I'm cheap, so I get like the off-brand medicine from time to time.
I do the same, yeah.
You know, I don't want to get like the big brand Tylenol or something, you know, like or Vicks, something like that, right? You know, so, you know, you get the off-brand stuff. And it's good for temporary relief. But long-term relief, it'll work for like 2 hours. But after that, it kind of wears off and you have to go back and see if you can, you know, down yourself with some more medicine. If you get the good stuff, that stuff lasts. I mean, it'll knock you out for the night. You're good the next morning. The Lions right now, this is temporary relief. But how long will this last? So I'm taking the Lions with a spoon of cough syrup, off-brand cough syrup right now. I'm not buying them just yet. They gotta prove that they're Tylenol on that rack.
The good news, though, is if the Lions are taking off-brand cough syrup, then the rest of the NFC isn't going to the doctor whatsoever because the rest of the conference has not looked good so far.
And that helps them for sure. All right, quick call because this brother, I think he may have taken some cough syrup this morning because he just stated on our Facebook feed that the Lions are going, 12-4? Am I reading that right on our Facebook feed? 12-4. He said he told you, Isaac, that the Lions would go 12-4.
Why is this me?
I don't know. I guess you guys chatted.
Austin's been firing shots, yeah.
Austin is on line one. Austin from KZOO wants to weigh in. Austin, what's up, dude?
Like I said, Isaac, like I told you a couple weeks ago when I called in, 12-4 is what I'm calling.
What?
And in these next couple of games, they're only going to lose one of them. And I'll say that loss is going to come to the Packers.
Okay, on the road. That's a tough team in Lambeau Field, tough atmosphere. But you look at how the Panthers played the New England Patriots yesterday. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. They seem to be getting in a groove right now. The New Orleans Saints, now granted they were playing the Miami Dolphins, but still, this is not going to be a walk in the park these next few weeks. Still, you're going with 12-4, Austin. That's crazy, man.
I'm going with 12-4, but disclaimer, the offense is going to have to step up because you look at Carolina. They scored, 33 points yesterday against the Patriots. And the defense can't save the offense against the Panthers. I mean, you got Cam Newton, who's a mobile quarterback. Granted, the DBs have been playing good. They've been swarming to the ball, coming up and making plays. But the offense is going to have to put some points on the board. And all of these up-the-middle dink-and-dunk plays that they've been running, especially at crucial points in the game in the fourth quarter where you're still giving the opposing team time to be able to make plays and get points, you got to start converting some of these three-and-out or punt situations into points. If you want to win.
We may have to put lunch on that 12-4 odd because I can smell a steak coming right now, Austin. Thank you so much for the call, dude.
All right, talk to you guys later.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Otis Wiley. We'll talk about MSU football's big win over the Iowa Hawkeyes at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. That and more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We dedicated segment A to the Detroit Lions. How impressed are you that the Lions currently sit at 3-1? Actually tied with the Green Bay Packers for first place in the NFC North. What are your thoughts? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our second guest, our first guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Otis Wiley, a dear friend of the show, former Michigan State linebacker and broadcaster. He's going to provide some thoughts now on the Michigan State football win over the Iowa Hawkeyes. Otis, what a way to open Big Ten play, huh?
Oh, man. It was a tough battle, man. I was in D.C. with Gary Barta, the athletic director of Iowa, and we started talking a little bit of trash about the the ongoing hardcore battles when Iowa and Michigan State go at it, man. It's always a brutal battle And it's always a hard week to kind of recover because, you know, you've been hitting hardcore. But, I mean, that game was a solidified good win for our young Spartans, man. It was our defense showed up four quarters. We took care of the ball. I wanted to see more of our run game established, but, you know, we took care of it for our pass, which is good. But I like to have a balanced attack. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what we do this week to prepare for those guys down the road.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Mark D'Antonio, he addressed the media, of course, after the game, and he noted how, hey, anytime Michigan State plays Iowa, it is going to be what he equated to a 12-round fight. And to elaborate off that pun, the centerfold of my centerpiece, I should say, of my report, post-game report, was that Michigan State, on Friday night, they gathered around and watched the movie Southpaw, specifically the final scene of the movie Southpaw, to just kind of get their head in the frame of mind that this will be a fight. It's going to be a knockdown, drag them out fight, just like any MSU and Iowa game will be. Now, you being a defensive guy, Otis, I want to talk about the defense, because the last time Michigan State held a Big Ten opponent other than Rutgers or Maryland to 10 points was actually Penn State in 2014. They pressured the quarterback, came up with two takeaways. Why is this defense clicking so well right now?
To be honest, I think that it all starts from that core of those linebackers. You know, you got Chris Frey, you got Joe Batchy, you got Andrew Dowd. Those guys, if you look at the game from start to finish, they were everywhere. I'm talking everywhere. And they were commanding that defense. And you can tell it was a different upbeat style this game versus that Notre Dame game. You know, and also we finally started to get some pressure on that quarterback, and you saw Demetrius Cooper finally start getting his motor going, and I think the DBs holding their own too. I mean, they were shutting down those passing lanes just so that the front seven can get to the quarterback, at least pressuring. And so the takeaways were huge. But I think the momentum and that adrenaline was kicking for, you know, you look forward to Iowa, man. You look forward to, like, that – it's that gridiron, that gladiator-type feel game that you're able to last four quarters in the trenches with the Iowa Hawkeyes. The offensive linemen are always big elephants coming out hard. The running backs are hard. Tight ends, wide receivers play hard, block hard. So – I think it was very, very good for the defense to keep that momentum, knowing that, you know, defense wins the game. So they were out there making plays, and I was proud of them, man.
Otis, if I were to tell you prior to that game on Saturday that Iowa running back Akram Wadley would only have, what, a net of, what, 30 yards? And when it comes to the overall run game, just 19 rush yards for Iowa, would you have believed me?
Oh, trust me, look, no, not at all. I mean, I think, to be honest, we held the Notre Dame running back, you know, more than other teams have. But I think that from this last week of having preparation for it, knowing how he sets his runs up, you know, making sure that, you know, he's going to make one guy miss. And it's all about that next person coming in and sweeping up that tackle. And we were gang tackling. You saw how many guys went to the football. And it was like, any means necessary, you get him down. And I think just closing those alleyways, closing the outside options for him, making sure he goes inside the tackle box, and we being there to hit him in the mouth, I think that was a good game plan from Coach Barnett and those guys.
Now, on the contrary, yet another game where Michigan State's rushing attack isn't impressive. I mean, just kind of average, to be honest with you, or many would argue below average. Another game where Brian Lewerke, sophomore quarterback, is leading the team in rush yards. LJ Scott, Gerald Holmes, Madre London. Again, we're not seeing separation from any three of those backs. When taking another look, another week where Michigan State's rushing attack just has not been there, what is wrong right now, Otis?
I think that's the number one question, man.
Right, that's the magic question, man. I know.
That's the magic question. I don't know if it's from a standpoint of just taking care of the ball and making sure we're trying to being overly protective and not being able to pick the holes when you get the ball.
Is the offensive line creating enough holes? Is the offensive line underperforming right now when it comes to the rushing attack?
I don't think so. I think that you know, a great running back, and hey, I'm not a running back, but I play with a good one, you know, Javon Ringer, and playing JU, those guys, you know, those guys set up those their alley or their holes, you know. So when it came to you getting the ball, regardless if you have somebody come in right when you get the ball, you got pressure, you make one guy miss and you get to the three positive, four positive yards. But it just, it feels like we just can't get going. Like you just, you feel that momentum where, okay, we see a hole from the stands, we see a hole on TV, but they're not seeing it right then and there. So to be honest, I think where if you get these guys busy outside of, you know, getting them into the passing game where they can get going, momentum going, I think we'll allow them to set up their confidence in going down and running downhill. But it's, I mean, you and me both, we're asking that question where who is the guy that we can always count on and we don't know yet. And, you know, I'm hoping for that we get that settled this week and we'd be able to come out and just pound, green, pound hardcore against those Wolverines.
And I think the fact that, you know, L.J. Scott just didn't cough up the ball, I think that's a win within the win, right? In a way.
Man, I shake every time we get in the red zone and like, oh, man. It's one of those I mean, you got confidence. It's almost the DB mentality, man. You're going to get beat. Players going to make plays. You're going to make mistakes. It's how you bounce back. And, you know, it's all in the head now where you just got to go out and play ball like you usually do, LJ. And, you know, I hope he's listening. He's probably not. But just play ball, man. That's what you're here for. Play ball.
I hope you're listening, LJ. Play ball, baby. Just play ball, man. Wise words from Otis Wiley, former Michigan State linebacker and broadcaster. Otis, two final questions before we get you out of here. Just your assessment of Brian Lewerke so far. You know, I was very surprised how Michigan State, you know, the first drive of the game, just kind of rallied down the field. Lewerke goes 5 for 5, 70 yards, perfectly thrown touchdown pass on the opening drive. Felton Davis, you know, he sets a career high when it comes to catches. I believe he had, what did Felton have, like 7 catches, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. That was so impressive. It was a career high for him. As far as Brian Lewerke goes, what did you like from him on Saturday?
Let's talk about just confidence. I mean, the guy has confidence. You can see it. You can see how he commands the huddle. You also see, like, you like to see a quarterback and your young quarterback make mistakes or miss a play, miss that pass where he should have got it, but then bounce back. And I think that's what, you know, Connor Cook has. Like, Connor Cook will make a mistake. Mm-hmm. To come right back and drive down the field like nothing happened. And I think those are those things where you see in the quarterback, you see it in the wide receivers and the relationship that they have, that they've been putting in work in offseason. The passes he's throwing to Felton, man, like I wish I could have it on the film right now, but he threw that pass in that end zone to the jump ball, and that was the best placement we've seen in a while. And the guy can go up and get the ball. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that, man. Like, he knows who's good in what. Who's good in space, who's good in the body, boxing out. He just knows his wide receiver. So you see that relationship. You see that chemistry.
Yeah, Felton Davis. And, again, I want to correct myself. 9 catches, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Otis. Again, it's rivalry week. I want to have you back on the show later on this week as we preview U of M and Michigan State at the Big House. First ever night game, 7:30 p.m. under the lights. Going to be a huge game with a lot of implications for both of these teams, I believe. And I want to have you on to preview that matchup, especially in light of the recent news that Wilton Spate will be out for a few weeks and John O'Korn is now the guy. Will you come back later on this week to preview that?
Oh, man, you can have me every day. It's my blood is boiling out. I can't wait.
I know you're ready. I'm looking forward to you sharing some memories from your time playing in that historical in-state rivalry matchup. Otis Wiley, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right.
This week.
You got it. You got it, man. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll talk to James Moore, former Michigan State fullback, great, and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign.
You know what? I want to show some love to Jake Hartbarger as well, because it's not often where you, when dissecting football games, you know, the kicker doesn't get a lot of love unless he does something that's just like, oh my gosh, right? Well, it was an oh my gosh performance from Jake Hartbarger, the junior punter from Michigan State, on Saturday against Iowa. I mean, the dude was just locked in and in his zone. He averaged 38.6 yards on 5 punts Saturday. On 3 of them, he was punting from Iowa territory. His punts were caught at the 8, 9, 8, and 7-yard line before his final kick. Unbelievable. He's such a weapon to have for Michigan State football. I wanted to show Jake some love as well. All right, before we close out today's current sports, I want to invite this man to the show. He's a dear friend. His name is James Moore, former MSU fullback great, who, of course, was a part of that 1988 Rose Bowl championship roster for Michigan State and also founder of the Speaking With a Purpose campaign. James Moore, what's up, man?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
I am doing fantastic, and I thought it'd be kind of cool to have you on to close out the show today, James, because we have been reading and reading a lot of reviews from your story in the Lansing State Journal. You sat down with LSJ storyteller Cody Tucker and told a bit of your life story and your battle with drug addiction, which you've profiled live here on our airwaves during the SWAT meet. And I just want to ask you, James, I mean, what's the reaction been like after, you know, this story, your story has gone public in print? What has the reaction been like?
Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of great feedback, okay? It's just, you know, like I always wanted to do with the SWAP, you know, impact people's lives. And everybody that has come up to me and said, hey, man, it's a great story. They can relate to it. And that's what it's all about right there.
Yeah, for sure. And again, if you want to check it out, it's entitled Making a Difference. It was published on September 28th in the Lansing State Journal. And James, you talk about, you know, your battle with cocaine addiction, and you go into your childhood and how you were sexually abused as a young 4-year-old child, a memory that you don't have. It's not very vivid in your mind. But how tough was that for you? Because, again, I've seen you when you've opened up here on our airwaves about your personal struggles from back in the day. And it's something that, of course, touches an emotional nerve. How tough was that for you to sit down and open up the way you did with Cody?
You know, one thing about myself is I've always been an open book. You know, I've always been able to be open and honest about things, you know, and it was tough. But you know what, though? The tough thing is being that's how you deal with it, by laying it out there. And when it was kind of tough, like I said, I don't remember a lot of that stuff when I was 4 years old. My older brother, Marcus, he kind of brought back some of the memories about it, but it was tough. But you know what, though? It's all for a good cause, because everyone is battling something somehow or another. And if I can share my story and it reaches one person, you know, that's gratification for me.
It definitely is. And you know, your brother Marcus is also quoted in the article. And also, I found it very cool that Lorenzo White also weighed in via Florida with Cody. And he went on to say this in the article, quote, James is a very good person. He is one of those guys that trained hard and always wanted to get better. He was a dedicated teammate, but he is going to be very good at helping the youth. He is a person that always takes time out with kids and always has. James, what's that like when you hear those words from a dear teammate like Lorenzo White? What was that like reading that quote in the article? And also, what's the relationship like between yourself and Lorenzo White today?
First of all, by hearing those words from Lorenzo, it just, you know, just basically gave me that, you know, you're doing the right thing, James. And it's always great to hear, you know, something like that about yourself. And because I don't look at myself as, you know, going above and beyond, you know, doing anything special. I'm just being me, doing me. And to hear Lorenzo say that was just phenomenal, because he looked at me in that manner, and I really do appreciate it.
Again, the article is entitled Making a Difference. You can check it out via the Lansing State Journal sports page at lsj.com. James, for those that do check out the article, what is the biggest message that you want people to take away from your story?
The biggest message is, everyone is going through something. Everyone, be it big, be it small. the storms are going to come. The key is how are you going to respond to it? And if you can take anything that, you know, one thing out of my story and utilize it in your life, then I've impacted somebody's life and I've made a difference. That's why it's titled Making a Difference.
Absolutely love it. James, you have always been a class act, my friend, and we hope to get you back in studio sometime here soon. It is now rivalry week, though. Let's talk just quick X's and O's here. Michigan State will play its first ever night game against the Michigan Wolverines under the lights on the football gridiron. Just really quick, we only got about a minute left here in the show. Just brief thoughts on that matchup and how confident are you that MSU could possibly put out a win?
Hey, all we got to do is go in there and play. No turnovers, we'll win the game.
That's the key, right?
Just that simple.
Take care of the football, right?
Take care of the football.
All right,
which
James.
Has been a problem for us this year.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it definitely has. It wasn't on Saturday, though. That was a pleasant surprise, right?
It was. Yeah, it was good. But you know what, though? You got to bounce back. And they did.
James Moore, former MSU fullback, great, and founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. James, thank you so much for your time, my friend.
Thanks, Al. Catch up with you soon, brother.
You got it. All right. Final minute left in the show. Isaac, do you have a weekend winner?
I'll give it to Troy. The Troy Trojans, Whoa. The biggest win in program history.
That's humble of you. That is very humble
LSU.
Of you.
I mean, Ed Orgeron, you know what? If you hire a guy who was like 3-5 in his first season at Ole Miss, yeah, he probably won't do great things. So give it to Troy.
Impressive stuff. You know what? I'm going to give mine to the Detroit Lions. Because I don't know how long that'll last. I don't know how long I'll be able to say that. I'm not trying to hate Detroit Lions fans. I'm just saying. All right, folks. Back at the same time, same place tomorrow. Take care and be easy, people.